This morning, I want to talk to you guys about being a disciple. And I hope you don't mind, but I want to jump straight into it. And normally I would come with jokes and stuff, but today might be slightly bit more sobering than normal, all right? And so hopefully you guys are mature enough to still like me after I do this talk. Is that okay? Is that a promise? So if that's a promise, lift your hand quick. All right, that's cool. Okay. So I'm going to pray right quick, and then we're going to go straight into some word, and we're going to talk about some stuff. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we get a chance to engage your word about discipleship. We just love following you. We love knowing your ways. We love obeying you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that even this morning that you'd speak to our hearts. For your name's sake, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so in the book of Matthew, in the Gospels, it says this. It tells us a true story about Jesus. He had done all these amazing, crazy miracles. It got so crazy that a crowd began to follow him. And one day, randomly, he sees this crowd following him. And out of nowhere, he turns around, looks at the crowd, and says, "Good morning. Let me tell you a story. A farmer went out to go sow seed. He scattered some seeds. Some seeds fell along the path, and birds came and chowed the seeds and took the seeds away. And other seeds that he scattered, they fell along the rocky places, and as they began to sprout, they didn't have enough sun, so the seed died. And other seeds that he had scattered fell along thorns, and the thorns grew and ended up suffocating the plant, and the plant died. And the last seeds that he sowed fell on good soil, and those produce good fruit. Those of you who have ears to hear, may you hear." Cheers. That's it. He walked away. His disciples came to him later. "What do you mean about that?" Isn't Jesus so hardcore? It's like most of us have come to think that Jesus really wants to explain every single thing that he says to us so that in his explanation, his wonderful explanation, that we will follow him. Some of us think that he's willing to beg you to follow you, to follow him. I promise you now, he's not going to do it. He's not about to beg any of us to follow him. Check what he says here in the Bible after his disciples ask him about this parable. Let me read it for you quick. The disciples came to Jesus and asked him, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied this, listen to this. "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." Whoa, isn't that hectic? That there are some people that God wouldn't tell the knowledge of the secrets of heaven, and there are others that he told. Watch what he says here. "Whoever has been given more, whoever has will be given more, and he will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." This is what Jesus does, all right? In this situation, he calls only his disciples come to him, and he tells them these secrets. But he says, the rest of the people, I am not going to tell them these secrets. Here's what I want to quickly mention to you. You know, when we become saved, sometimes we feel like we're a part of a crowd, and it's not enough to be a part of a crowd. Being a part of a crowd does not allow you to have access to secrets. Being a part of a crowd does not allow you to have access to intimacy. And some of you here might be, you know, yeah, great, you got saved, but you stayed a part of the crowd. You never made the decision to be a disciple. You have to understand there's a difference between the crowd that followed Jesus because they saw the miracles, and they followed Jesus because of whatever selfish reasons, to a people who followed him as disciples. And so I made a decision when I was about 16, 17. I got saved, and my first year of being saved, as much as there were some radical moments, it was also a bit bad, that I hadn't caught on to this thing of being a disciple. So I want to give you two basic reasons why I chose to be a disciple and why I believe that if you make that decision of saying, yeah, fine, I know that I'm saved, but Pastor Mark, Pastor Ty, whoever, I don't just want to be saved. I want to be a disciple. I want to be a person who follows Jesus and teaches others to do the same. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is a learner and a student and a follower of Jesus who does exactly the same to others, who teaches others to do exactly the same. All right, so my first reason why I became a disciple, one, was to honor God. Say with me, to honor God, one, two, three. Yeah, you guys are good. You guys are good. So who likes soccer here? Cool, okay. Who's your favorite soccer player? Torres, even though he moved to Chelsea like now, yesterday. He's playing today, isn't he, against Liverpool. Who else? Who do you like? Wayne Rooney, Manchester. Yeah, he's been scoring some goals, finally. All right? So, if you had to have anyone teach you about soccer, would it be Torres? Tico Mudise? Katlego Mpela? Who would you want to teach you how to play soccer? And why would you choose that person? Anyone care to answer that? Yo. Why would you want him to teach you to play soccer? He's old, he knows about the game, he's got more experience than other coaches. Basically, you think that Sir Alex Ferguson is the best at what he does, right? So, in this, and I don't want to call it a game, but you're going to understand what I'm saying. In this game called life, there's one guy who's really done it perfectly. No one else. There's one guy who's so good at this game that he was able to conquer death itself. No one else could defeat him in this game. He was so good, not even one time did he disobey the rules of the game. Not even one time. And he still managed to win the game. So if there's anyone who can teach you and me, if there's anyone who should be followed in the game of life, it is probably this guy who's passed every test, conquered death, and still managed to be resurrected, seated on the right hand of the Father, Jesus. And so if there's anyone I want to follow in my life, it has to be him. Because I'm not willing to settle for second best. I'm not willing to settle for Eminem. I'm not willing to settle for a Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne's pretty good at what he does, I think. But Jesus is really good. In fact, he's the best. There's some Lil Wayne fans I'm seeing already. Are you guys fighting over Lil Wayne? All right, let's have an altar call. Lil Wayne people, come to the front. Let's pray for you. I'm joking. All right. So here's what I'm saying, okay? Here's what I realized, that I needed to honor, that disciples honor God. And what better way to honor God by following the one who's paid the price, not only that, following the one who is the best at this thing called life. It's Jesus, there's no one else. And so disciples are people who love, obey, but they honor God. Very simple. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 says this. Now, therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything, not a few things, not some things, but everything that I have taught you. And Lord, I will be with you all the days. This was Jesus speaking to his disciples. And I know here in the youth, you guys will be taught about how to make disciples. But the reality of it is, this is the first block that we have to conquer, is being a disciple ourselves. We need to learn and we need to understand that being a disciple in the forefront comes from honoring God. The Bible says this, you don't love God besides obeying him. To love God is to obey him. And so when I was young, I set that on my heart, that I'm going to honor him no matter what. Why? Because that's what disciples do. That's who disciples are. They are people who honor God with everything. I think I've told the story here before. I was saved when I was 16. When Ty led me to the Lord, great stuff. And then I think later I discipled him. I'm joking. So, but Mutai led me to the Lord, right? And then there was this guy called Chris Kingsley, right, who discipled me, who laid in me the foundations of Christian, of following Jesus. And one thing he taught me really well through prayer, he really loved to pray and stuff like that, but it was a simple thing that, Siv, you need to learn to honor God in everything you do, whether you are studying, whether you are with your friends, whether you, you know, you're with the, because we had a girls' school, whether you're with the girls' school people, all right? Honor me. Honor God. No matter what you do, just honor God. And the only way you can honor God is if you have figured out what this word says about the given situations that you're in, all right? Just keeping my head in this word day in and day out and figuring out, Lord, what do you say about this situation? I want to honor you. Being a disciple starts by honoring God. Point number two, which the point that I really want to hammer home, because I really feel like most of you understand this part. Everyone really wants to honor God. Everyone really wants to love God. Everyone really wants to obey God. That's cool. Point number two is this, to leave a legacy. To leave a legacy. The history tells of stories of many people who have, it's a nice picture, a story of many people who have lived their lives and have brought about influence like you wouldn't believe. But when they die, just before they die, they decide, let's build a building in honor of me, or let's build a statue in honor of me so that people will remember what I did. All right? How many think that's cool? It's not too bad, isn't it? It's not too bad, yeah. It's not too bad. Let's just build a building, and that's cool. Other people didn't build a building, but instead, they built into people's lives. Instead, they raised children. They raised sons and daughters. They made, they became mentors and built into people's lives. And so when they left people who carried on the legacy. Here's what I'll say to you. Legacy is not left in buildings. Legacy is not left in statues. Legacy is left in people. What we build into people, with the lives that we pour out into people, that is a kind of legacy that we're all called to live. And here's the wonderful thing about being a disciple, is that for us, the moment we choose to be a disciple, God has given us the grace to leave a legacy. I realized, at a very young age, I realized, you know what? I might come from a family that's not that rich. I might come from a family that's broken, and my mom and my dad are divorced. I love them to bits. And, you know, I might have come from a family where there was a lot of abuse and all kinds of stuff. That was me, okay? I might have been very insecure as a young, short, chubby, black kid growing up in an environment where, you know, even I was a bit dyslexic growing up. I was struggling to read. But when I came across this, I realized, wow, I have an opportunity, just like everyone else, to leave a legacy. How many of you want to leave a legacy? You don't just want to be remembered, but you want to leave a legacy. You want something to continue way after you are gone and dead. I know you guys have got many years ahead of you, but I want to encourage you in saying this. You can start to leave a legacy today. You don't have to wait until you're 40 or the president of a company. Living a legacy is about your daily decisions that you make. And as disciples, it's not only, which is very important, by the way, our character and the things that we do, but it's also making disciples, which I said, which will be shared with you guys, how you guys make disciples. Very important. Right. I want to turn quickly to Luke 11, and I'm going to share this, and then we're going to break into small groups, all right? Luke 11, there we go. Do you guys have your Bibles out today? Or am I the only one who brought a Bible? Oh, this sucks. I thought it was Luke 11, I missed it. All right.
Here we go. Luke 14. Luke 14. Let's do... Verse 26. All right, let's go for it. This is Jesus speaking, all right? He's speaking about the cost of being a disciple or the cost of following Jesus. Here we go. It says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? Verse 29, for if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give everything he has cannot be a disciple. Verse 33, I'm going to read it again. In the same way, any of you who does not give everything he has cannot be a disciple. So here's kind of the sobering part of the message, okay? That line right there. I wish the moment I got saved, someone said that to me. I wish someone could have said to me, this thing you're signing up for means you give everything. Not a few things. Not just playing in this area. No. It means giving everything. The cost of discipleship. And so you guys are thinking, so what? I've heard that many times, you know, giving up everything. What does it mean for me? And you guys know. But all of you in your own separate situations have things that you know what? I know I could give up a bit more TV and spend more time with the Lord. I know I could give up a bit more of E-News channel, you know, and just be with the Lord, read my Bible, be in a connect group, whatever it is. I could give up some stuff. But I feel like the scripture is way more than that. I feel like the scripture is saying this as well, that there has to come a point in you being a disciple where you say, Lord, my life, I give it up to you for you to do whatever it is you want to do with it. My ambitions, everything I give up to you. And so there's a cost to discipleship, but there's a reward. And as much as we give up everything as a cost to following Jesus, the reward is that we gain everything for following him. You know, if it's so interesting that we can have this thing called life and yet still be willing to sacrifice life for riches, for fame, etc., etc., etc. But how many know if you're dead, you don't have a chance to have any riches or fame? How many know that? That's pretty much simple, right? How many know when you actually don't have a life, it's absolutely practically impossible for you to be famous? Unless if you're Tupac. But we won't go there for now, all right? So here's the thing, it's very simple, that we are giving ourselves to him so that we can attain the fullness of life and that we can begin to live in him and add whatever he begins to add as we have given ourselves to him. That we begin to reap the rewards of being disciples in Christ. It's very important to me. As I said to you, I wish someone could have said this to me. Because I've always thought that it's okay, it's just enough for me. When I was younger, I thought, it's just enough for me to just get saved. As long as I'm saved, I'm cool. I can get to heaven. You know, God will be nice to me. He will smile at me. He will answer my prayers. But that's just not enough. We have to make the choice. I made the choice to say, Lord, I want to be a disciple. For two main reasons. One, I want to honor you. You have called me to be a disciple. You have said to me that you want me to be a disciple who makes disciples.
So one, I have to honor God. Two, you have called me not just to be a disciple, you have called me also make disciples. I have to leave a legacy behind. And understanding that, and understanding the cost of discipleship, going into this moment, fully aware that what I'm doing has rewards, what I'm doing comes at a price, but at a price that I'm willing to pay. Do you guys understand me? That's good, that's good. I want to do one more thing. How much time do I have? 2 minutes. Oh, yeah. I got 2 minutes. You know, I want us to close our eyes a minute. We're going to pray, right? But all of us here, or most of us here, might say, you know what? I know that I'm saved. I know that I've given my life to Jesus. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything like that. But there might be some of you here saying, yeah, you know, I've been saved for a bit, but I'm not really a disciple. And I want to be a disciple. I want to be one who honors God wholeheartedly. I want to be one who set his heart on leaving a legacy for the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, I understand the cost now. Maybe I didn't understand that there was that much of a cost to pay, but I understand the cost and I'm willing to pay it. And I know that the rewards are far greater. But I'm not doing it for the rewards. I'm doing it because God has asked me to. God has called me to be a disciple. So in this moment right now, as you're silent, I just want to ask you, just begin to pray. Those of you saying, I want to be a disciple, Lord. Today, I want to be a disciple. Whatever it means, I want to be a disciple. Just want to give you a chance just to pray there by yourself. Then we close. Lord, thank you for this morning. I just pray for each and every one of us. I pray that this hard decision will be reflected with fruit, lasting fruit of honoring you and leaving a legacy that blesses you. Amen.